Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be talking about Notion and documentation. And we're also going to talk about SaaS applications and security, because Notion is a SaaS application. It's in the cloud. But the reason why we're going to be talking about documentation is because we really don't have any. And part of the issue we're having right now is that when we want to do our labs, a lot of what we have is super confusing because we have, or it's complicated and confusing.
Well, it's not that we don't have documentation, it's that it's all over the place. The very few documentation that we have and the very few processes that we've been trying to document, they're all over the place.
Yeah, and I want to point out that I work for an MSP. And part of the thing that you're going to do in an MSP is documentation. You have to have that in order to survive. So this is not something that is unique to just us here at Section 9. This is something that I have dealt with throughout my entire IT career. My previous job, one of the reasons I chose to leave, lack of documentation. Current job, one of the issues we have is, how do we do good documentation? And we're always talking about that because when you work for an MSP, you're going to have multiple customers. Every customer is going to be slightly different. And then you may have situations where maybe they have custom applications. Specific user needs a specific requirement, specific application or hardware. Well, that stuff has to be documented. And you can't say, oh, I can remember all of that. There's no way you can do that.
You know, you can't even remember it with one client. I cannot imagine with more clients. You know, because a big part of the documentation, what I find useful about it is that we may do something and then we may not do it for months on end because it's not necessary. But then if something goes wrong and we need to redo that process, if it's not documented, we either have to research it all over again or, you know, we're not going to remember it. So I think documentation is the one thing that allows you to forget, but also is very useful because when issues come up and you document them, you can say, oh, that happened before, but we did put it down. Let's see what we did to fix that.
Exactly. And I think Notion is, I think at the moment, the right solution for us. We have other things. We have Jitbit. We have Monday. We could have gone with SharePoint and 365 if we decided to go that direction. But a lot of that isn't really designed for the kind of documentation that we're trying to do. In other words, we want to document a process. We want to document, you know, how to put together a 2019 domain controller. How do we do a secure configuration of Windows 10? Those are the kinds of things we want to document. And while I think SharePoint can do that, you really have to know how to use SharePoint in order to make that work.
Well, yeah. And then the question becomes, do I spend all my time trying to figure out how to work SharePoint or even DocuWiki when we had it or any of the, you know, we have Monday and we have Jitbit. They're good applications on their own. But for what we need right now, I mean, and this is a question that I have for you. How do you go about, you know, I'm going to try Notion. Like, what made you decide to do that? Because, you know, like, while I understand, I love DocuWiki and you know that, but I also understood that you had to host it and you were spending a lot of time trying to figure out what went wrong when something went wrong with it. So when you're looking at it from my inexperienced point of view, if I had to choose an application, I wouldn't know where to begin. So what were you looking for when you decided, hey, I'm going to give Notion a try?
So I did a lot of research, looked out there for, you know, applications that have like wiki features, knowledge base type stuff. And this seemed to be the one that had all the right features for us. And it seems like a lot of people are using Notion. And I'm actually taking a Notion course. I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just kind of figure out how this works and start getting stuff in there that's going to be useful to us. So I do have some things already in there. You now have an account in there. You've seen some of that. And I think that as we begin to use it, we're going to come up with a process for managing things in there. And that's going to be a tricky thing, right? Because when you try to come up with a process, you're forced to go use that process. But what we want at the end of all of this is to say, okay, I'm going to forget about Fortinet. I'm going to forget about VMware. I'm going to forget about
Windows, everything.
Windows. And so what you end up thinking about then is the new stuff that you want to learn. So if I can get as much Fortinet stuff documented inside of Notion, I can forget about that. And there's going to be things you click on, commands, configurations, how things are set up for Section 9. All of that is going to go into Notion. And then we are going to just have a process in there where we say, here is how to set up a new lab environment.
Or here's how our firewall is configured, because we don't configure the firewall every day. And if something goes wrong and we need to, put the firewall back together, start from scratch. Do you remember how you configured it?
Nobody's going to remember how they configured
it. That's what I'm saying. I think that's what is important when it comes to, putting these processes together and documenting them. So then we can look at our projects, like you said, and try to think about what the project when we're trying to do. So when we need to do something basic, we can say, okay, we got that documented. We don't need to do that part of the research because it's already done. And that was a big deal when it came to some of the things that we have done in the past with projects, that something went wrong on an installation of some kind of thing, and we ended up documenting how we ended up fixing that. So if it happened again, you could refer to it. So to me, it's very valuable. It sure takes a long time. We've been through a lot of different applications that we have tried. We tried Evernote. We tried, what else did we try?
There was DocuWiki.
Yeah.
We tried Google Docs for a bit. And the Google Docs thing is like anything else, right? You create a document, you save it, you're good. And then when you need it, you can't find it.
Yeah.
And then the other issue is, how do you make sure that that document is shared with the right people?
And what I liked about Notion is the front page that you did, that it has, it has items, it has a VMware, it has Windows, it has, so you can go in there and click on it and you have a list of processes in there that we can document. And it seems like it would be easy to search.
Yeah. And so we'll have to see how that works for us as we begin to use that. But the thing that I want people to understand is that you're going to have a lot of items that you have to manage. And one of the issues that I see happening, especially for smaller organizations, is they don't have good documentation. So every time they go to do something, it's a painful process. And I've been in that situation. So my previous job, I quit that because every time I went to go do something simple, it was so hard to figure out how to do that I couldn't do it. It was just, and it was painful for me. It was painful for the end user. And I give you one example. I had to go and switch out a workstation for somebody because their workstation wasn't working. So I said, okay, what's the process of putting together a new workstation? Nobody had an answer for that. So now I'm forced to sort of figure out how to set up a new workstation for this person. And I don't know what applications are supposed to be there. I don't know what the settings are supposed to be.
The policies, anything.
Right. So all of that has to be recreated by me because nobody seems to know how to put that together. So these are things that you have to take into consideration when you are managing IT or you're part of an IT department. If you're in a situation where everything has to be recreated all the time, you may want to walk away from that because that's not a place you want to be. That's a recipe for disaster. And we have been in that situation for a long time for ourselves because we just haven't spent enough time documenting things.
So how important is documentation to security?
Is huge. So if we get into the security aspect of this, documentation is huge because you're looking at very specific things. And then if it's for compliance reasons or just security in general, compliance has to prove that you are doing what you are supposed to be doing, right? So there's a checklist there and you have to make sure you're maintaining that. You check something off, it has to be happening in the real world. You can't just check it off and then not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things have to match. On the secure end of things, like let's say, for example, you say a Windows 10 box is secure. That's your secure configuration. Well, if you make a modification to that, you have to reevaluate that security. So you have to have documentation that says, here are the 20 things that we have to have on this Windows 10 machine to make it secure. We are approving these 20 things. If there is a change to those 20 things, you add something, you take something away, it's not following your standard, therefore it is no longer secure, and you have to reevaluate the security of that particular device, that Windows 10 system, And then you have to say, okay, are we going to accept it? Are we going to reject it? Or is this a new configuration and this is the new standard? Because you could do that too. But you can't do that without documentation. The other thing that we need to talk about that goes along with security is the security of your SaaS applications, your cloud-based applications, your software as a service. So if we recap here, we're saying that documentation is super important, speeds up the process a bit because now you have something written down. You can just go to that. It tells you what to do, it tells you what you have, and you don't have to go search for things or look things up and reinvent the wheel. The wheel's there, you just use it. So that's why we're trying to put this together and spend time on this because it's super important. It's going to speed up our process. But now we have to say to ourselves, how secure is Notion? And what kinds of data can we have in Notion? You know, if I put customer data inside of Notion, is that okay?
Right. Is anybody, is that third-party application going to have access to your confidential data for your client?
And so what we may have to do is we have to go back to Notion and ask them some questions about their security. So what that means is you're going to ask them, and I've done this before. So I you know, one company that I worked for, our CFO wanted some information about Amazon's web services and said, okay, well, what kind of security do they have? Because we were going to move a financial application onto Amazon Web Services, and there are certain regulations you have to follow when you do something like that. So that third party has to have a certain level of security in place. And in this case, I was told to ask for a SOC 2 certification, and he wanted to see that SOC 2 report. Like, how are you managing your security? And there's a SOC 3 report, which doesn't really tell you much of anything. So what you want is a SOC 2 report, according to this guy, because I didn't know what that was. And I still don't really understand exactly what's in there. So we're going to have to look at SOC 2 because Notion is trying to get a SOC 2 certification. And there's a couple of things that I looked at briefly, and I'm going to have to go back to that. And you and I are going to sit down and look at that. They do encrypt your data at rest. They do have, of course, SSL, so that when you go to the website, the communication between your device and the website is all secure, but most people are doing that nowadays anyway. And so there's some security in there, but we need to look at the details.
So how does the third party prove to you that they have SOC 2? Is this a contract that you guys go into that will guarantee that your data is going to be confidential? Or how does that happen?
So they have to be certified, and we're going to have to look at that.
But just because they're certified doesn't mean they're doing it, right?
So we're going to have to look at that certification process. So we're going to have to find out what that actually means. It's like being a doctor, right? You don't just show up and say, I'm a doctor. You have to be certified by somebody.
No, but what I'm saying is if you go for to get the Amazon, what was it? Did you call it?
That's the Amazon Web Services.
Web Services. They're not going to offer the same security for everybody. You know, they would have to have different kinds of, you know, because somebody may not have data that needs to be secured. It's something that, so how does it guarantee? I guess for me, it's like if you go to them and say, this is what I'm going to do, do they automatically do the SOC 2?
So we're going to have to look into that.
Okay.
We're going to have to do all kinds of research on that. Now, if you look at Amazon itself, they do have certain security certifications. And if you look at DigitalOcean, where we have our servers, certain data centers are SOC 2 compliant and certain data centers are not. So you have to pay attention to where certain things sit. So when we go and look at the security for Notion, we may have to ask them and say, hey, what are you guys doing for security? I see this on your website, but what are you actually doing? Can I get a report? Can I see something?
So here's the crazy thing then, because for someone like me, I would not have known that. So if you're trying to learn security, how do you know what level you would need to do? How do you know to ask for a SOC 2? How would you know that, you know what I'm saying? When you're trying to learn, how does that come about?
So that's where security gets super complicated. And that only comes from experience, because nobody's going to tell you about SOC 2 compliance. Nobody's going to say that to you when you do your security training. It's not going to be listed anywhere, because I went through security training and nobody talked about any of that stuff. So you have to just be in the industry and learn some of these things. Training helps a lot, but you know, things like SOC compliance and all of that, that's where you get into laws, regulations, and things of that nature.
And when it's going to come up.
Yes. And so I just happened to be in a situation where that was talked about. So that's something we're going to have to look at. And you and I are going to have to come up with some sort of a process by where we say what goes into Notion and what does not go into Notion. And we have to be able to validate that information and you know, say to ourselves, okay, I'm okay with this kind of data being in Notion, not this other kind.
And then I guess we're going to have to learn to look at our data or whatever data, whosever data, and say, where does this belong to security-wise? Is it a SOC 2?
Well, not that is it a SOC 2. What we want to do is classify our own data.
Right, that's what I meant. I mean, trying to figure out, you know, how important, how it needs to be secured, and where is it secure, and where does it need to be, I guess.
Because there's going to be some stuff where we say, you know, I don't think this belongs inside of Notion. I want this someplace else. Where is that someplace else? I don't know yet.
So would this be a part of your risk assessment when you do a risk assessment plan? Would you be doing this for a client and you would you say, okay, this is going to be identifying this kind of a thing is going to be part of the risk assessment?
It depends on what that, so risk assessment, we'll leave that out of there.
Okay.
Because that goes into a lot of different things.
I'm just trying to understand it, Dean.
But what you want to do is think about your data classifications. Mm. And you want to say, okay, where does, you know, what kind of data do you have? And it could be part of a risk assessment. Like if you were to do a sort of a general overview of things, then you might say, okay, what kind of data are you working with? Does it have a compliance component to it? Is it governed by certain laws like financial data, personal information, medical records, right? That's HIPAA.
Yeah.
So you have to take those kinds of things into consideration. And then you can begin to say, okay, based on the kind of data that you're working with, here's the kind of security we think you should have.
Yeah, and see, when I was looking at data, it was more like I was looking at it from this point of view of losing it or not losing it. Like, you know, if you have a business, where is your important data that you cannot live without that would crumble your business? That's how I was looking at it. This other part of it wasn't a part of my thought, which should have been, but, you know.
And if you look at the kind of information that we currently have, all it is going to be a process for building a Windows 10 virtual machine, building a Server 2019 virtual machine, managing Fortinet equipment, managing VMware, you know, putting together things like Sysmon on Server 2019 or Windows 10. So that kind of data, who cares, right?
Right. I mean, it's when you, if you decide to do your own business again and you decide to have a client and then all of a sudden it's like you need to implement one of those processes and document it for that client, that's when you're going to need to do that.
Exactly. Then we have to say to ourselves, okay, can I put this data in Notion or do I need to have this someplace else?
Yeah.
The fact that Notion is using Amazon Web Services to store data, or at least as part of their process, their infrastructure, I think is pretty cool because mm-hmm. I know that Amazon has pretty good security.
Yeah.
So that's kind of making me feel a little bit better, but we need to know, you know, what are some of the other things that they have connecting you to that? Like, is there something else outside of Amazon Web Services? How are they making sure those things are secure? You know, where does our data sit when we're not using it? You know, how all of those things have to be answered. And so I would like to possibly ask them and say, hey, can you explain your security to us? Can you tell us what happens to our data when we're putting it in there and who gets to see it? How are they going to access it? What happens when we, you know, don't use something for a bit? Is it all encrypted? You know, can one of your server admins see the data? Those are some things that I would like to know. and have them explain that to us so then we can make an informed decision about whether or not we're going to actually pay for their service. And then if we do pay for the service, what kind of data do we want to have on their system?
Makes sense.
So anything else?
No, I think you covered it.
So here's the summary of all of this, right? We have a lack of documentation, and the stuff that we do have is sort of spread out all over the place. So we've decided to look at Notion as a possible solution for that. And Notion has a pretty good way of allowing you to create something that helps you organize your data. Because we want to speed up the process of getting into our labs and learning stuff. And we're also looking at the security of the SaaS application, Notion in this case, and we want to know what kind of data can we stick on that particular system, who has access to it, is it encrypted, is it safe to put client data on there at some point if we wanted to do that. Those are some things that we're going to have to sort of ask them and find out and do some more research on. But overall, I think we're heading in the right direction because our current information that we have isn't all that important. It's just basic information about IT.
Yeah, they're just checklists pretty much of how to do a certain thing that everybody on the internet can look up. It's not going to be, we just want to document it so we have easy access and we don't have to be looking for different things to meet our needs.
Yeah. And I also want to make a comment about our ticket system. It seems like when people send something in, I never get a response back. So we may be changing that a little bit. I may be changing it to where people can just email us and then we have an email response back and forth. Hopefully that'll work out better. Because I will respond to their ticket, but then I get nothing back. So I don't know if people are just like, okay, I got a response, I'm done, and they don't say anything, or they don't know that they can respond to that email and get, you know, a communication going that way. But if you have any comments or questions, you can go to our website and send us a ticket. And we'll have our show notes there. We'll have things about Notion and their security in there as well. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.